I know that the meeting did you great good and opened up your soul to the inflowing of this love, and consequently, to a renewed faith and trust, and renewed love for the Father and belief in me. Let this love in you increase and pray to the Father for more faith in his promises, and for a greater inflowing of his love, and very soon you will realize his actual presence in your soul to an extent that will make you know that you are one with him in love, and in the possession of the divine essence that will cause all doubt to leave you and give you a faith in which no doubt will appear. I am glad you went to this meeting tonight and I hope you will go again, for the influences attending it were helpful to you, and were from above. Soon I will write again as I desire, if you will only pray more and trust more. You are thinking right and I will pray to the Father for you, and if you will only persist in your desires and try to act in accordance with our prayers you will succeed. 4. The Paget Messages 1915. The Father will hear your prayers and will help you to the fullest. And in addition, I will be with you and help you with my power and love. So do as I say, and above all have faith in the Father and trust me. I will not write more tonight, but will say that I will be with you during the week and will help you in your spiritual efforts. So with all my love, I am your friend and brother, Jesus. And he said that there is no other salvation than through the blood of Jesus. How in error he is, and how he will find the truth on his awakening in the spirit life. Let not your heart be troubled or your faith in the Master be shaken by anything that he or any other man may say. I was at the meeting and what the preacher said was all right, except that you must not believe that only the blood saves from sin. No, he did not say that in so many words, but that was what he intended that his sermon should convey. I am Saint John. I never said that the blood of Jesus saves from sin, and neither did Jesus or any of his apostles. Let not the conversation cause you to doubt for a moment what we have written to you. So I will stop now and will only say further, that we are all with you and want you to believe firmly in what we may write. Yes, I am sorry to say that that is their belief, and what a great mistake they make and how great the awakening will be for them, when they shall learn the truth. So believe and trust. John, I, Clement, want to write a few lines. I have written you once before and told you of some of the evils and errors of the church of which I was a member, and now I want to tell you that in the distant future the church will lose its power over the hearts of men, and then it will go into decay and finally disappear from the face of the earth. It can never be reformed from within because those who govern and control it know nothing about the real truths of salvation, and will never learn. The dogmas of the church are too firmly fixed in their minds to ever permit the truths to enter, and consequently, as these dogmas must be destroyed, with their destruction the church will cease to exist as a church. I am sorry that this will have to be, but the truths of God will prevail, and everything that is not in accord with them must be destroyed in 194, cease to exist. I know that it will make a desperate effort to preserve its power and existence, but in vain. I am now working to bring about that consummation and so are all the redeemed Christian spirits, because we see that it is a mighty stumbling block to the reception of God's truths by men, and men must be taught these truths and be saved from their sins. Yes, there will be a church established, and it will be a church of Christ, and all mankind in time will come to unite with it and worship the one true God, and believe on Jesus as his great messenger and teacher, and not as God. The name of that church I don't know, but it will be one in which faith in spiritualism will obtain, and all members will believe that spirit and mortal can commune. I will write no more now, but say good night. Your brother in Christ, Clement. August 30, 1915. I am here, Paul. I desire to tell you that I am very prepared to disclose to you what are the true teachings of Jesus, and what errors my epistles, as contained in the Bible, possess. I know now that it may seem strange to you that heresies should have gotten into my epistles, but there are several reasons for their entrance. First, the epistles as they now appear are not what I wrote, I mean many changes have been made in my writings, and second, when I wrote the epistles I did not know as much of the truths of God as I do now, and thirdly, I was not such a believer in the teachings of Jesus, as I am now. These are sufficient reasons why my epistles should not be accepted as containing all the truths, or rather, that all they contain are truths. There are apparent contradictions in these writings, and if what is said were true, there would be no real contradictions. I fully realize this great defect in my epistles, and I have tried hard to impress those who attempt to explain my sayings, as to the real truth of what they attempt to explain, but with indifferent success. And now I want to correct what is untrue or not in accord with the teachings of the Master, and the only way in which it can be done is by writing through you. Of course, I realize that you have a great work to do for the Master, and that most of your time and energy will be taken up by doing this work of the Master, and that every other communication must be subordinated to those of the Paget Messages 1915, Jesus. Yet I believe that you will at times find time to take my messages. Tonight, I will not attempt to write any message of these truths, and will only say that I am much interested in your work, and will try to help you all I can. So I must stop. No, no blood saves from sin, only the divine love of the Father does this. With much love I am your friend, Paul. I am here, Amen. I am the first mother of the entire human race, and I want you to know that before Aman and me, no human beings ever existed. We were created by God at the same time, and were ready, just after the moment of our creation, to live the lives of natural beings. So that there was no gradual growth on our part from any other creature or thing. I know it has been said that the first man was not created, but developed from some animal of the lower order, and as the process of evolution proceeded, this being became in the end a man, with all the wonderful organism and structure of his body. But I want to tell you that this is not true. When I was created, I was as perfect in my physical organism as I ever was afterwards, or as any man or woman ever became from that time into the present. In fact, I believe that at the time of our creation we were more perfect than mankind is now, because we had no physical ailments, no sickness, no deformity of any kind. We certainly were more beautiful in face and form than mankind now is or have been for many long centuries, and besides, our bodies and organism lasted for longer years than do the bodies of mankind at this time. Before our fall we were very happy in our conjugal love, and knew not troubles or worries of any kind, and never had anything to make us afraid or draw us apart from each other or from God, not until the great temptation came. And then, because of our ideas of our greatness and power and want of dependence on God, we fell, and never again were restored to a position of beauty and happiness that were ours in the beginning of our lives on earth. So you must see that we were specially created and not evolved from any other thing. Some men now may marvel and wonder at the Bible description of the creation of man, and reject the description as the imaginings of a mind of romance or imagery and not true. But I tell you now that the essentials of this creation and the fall, 195, are true. Of course, the parts played by the apple and the snake and the devil are not true literally, but are symbolical of the principles that entered into the temptation and fall. I was as much to blame as was Aman, but I did not entice him after I had the ambition to become immortal without waiting till that time came when God would give us that quality of his own nature. Our ambitions grew together, and we discussed the matter of making the great effort between us, and acted as one in trying to obtain this great immortality. So the story in the Bible is not exactly true just as far as I am concerned, for I did not entice or seduce Aman to do the great wrong, neither did he seduce me to enter into the effort. But all this is past, and many thousands of years have gone by since our fall, and we have suffered much because of our first sin. As you have been told, many thousands of years passed since the time that we forfeited the gift of immortality, until it was restored and made known to humanity by Jesus the Son of God, for he was the Son of God, and as being a part of his Father's divine nature he was divine, and partook of those qualities of the Father which gave to him immortality, and those who follow his teachings and receive the new birth will become divine and immortal also. I must not write more tonight. Yes, I will, and now I will say good night. Your sister, and mother in the flesh, Amen. I am here, John. I merely want to say tonight that you must soon prepare to take messages which the Master and some other high spirits desire to write. Let your arrangements be such that you can take those messages without anyone being disappointed, for when you say that you will receive them and then something comes up to prevent, the spirits feel that you have not interest sufficient, and they are disappointed. Well, that will be satisfactory and we will make our arrangements to comply with that understanding. I know though that you have been in a condition of love and soul during the past few days, and have realized that the Father has been close to you, and you have been happy. So continue to turn your thoughts to the Father and His love and you will find that there will come to you an increased love and a great happiness. I feel that your faith is growing and that the rapport between us all is steadily increasing. I did, the Paget Messages 1915, not intend to write more tonight, as we will all wait until the time that you have named. Well, I have already told you that that book, Revelation, was written as a kind of allegory, and that now it is of no practical use, and should not be given much attention. Besides, it is not as I wrote it, for many interpretations and additions have been made. At any rate, it is of no importance, and men lose much time in trying to solve what they call its mysteries. Question: Well, Aman is a general term which means first or highest, and when applied to man it means the first or highest creation. As it is applied in Revelation to Jesus, it means the man who first received the divine love of the Father after its ribstowel. I will come to you sometime and explain this matter more fully. Yes, they, Aman and Aman, came to you and gave you their names, which were the names that they were called by after their creation. They were both created instantaneously and became living souls in a moment, and did not grow from a germ by the slow process of evolution. Their story of the fall is substantially correct as I have learned from them and from the Master. The names Aman and Aman are correct, and were known thousands of years ago to the early inhabitants of the earth and who descended from them. The story of their fall was, of course, known to their immediate descendants and became known for some generations after their deaths to their more remote descendants. After a while the names became forgotten, but the substance of the story of their fall did not. And there were at one time manuscripts showing the account of the fall, but they disappeared long before the time of any of the present writings, though the story of the fall with various changes and amendments came down the ages, until the writers of the Old Testament incorporated such tradition in the book of Genesis. Of course, Adam and Eve did not exist, and neither is the story as to their fall, true. It is only symbolical in the way of showing that man once occupied an exalted and happy state, and by his own disobedience fell, and with his fall came the condition of evil and sin. Well, I must not write more tonight. So remembering what you say, I'm your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight because I see that you are again praying to the Father for the inflowing of His love and for faith, and for a nearness to Him that will make you happy. I am glad of this new aspiration and know that the love will come to you and that your faith will be increased, and your trust in me will be established firmly so that we can proceed with our work. So, I will soon come now and write you another of my formal messages, and I hope that thence we can go rapidly onward. I have been with you today and know what your feelings have been, and how in a way you have had faith that certain things would come to pass without knowing just why. But you have not troubled yourself very much and expected to secure them at the time needed. Well, I want to tell you that that is the kind of faith that you should have in reference to all the things that affect you both materially and spiritually. Such faith brings results and you will not be disappointed in your present faith, for what you need will come to you this week. I am here predicting a thing with certainty as I see it, and I do not think you will be disappointed. I know what you mean, and we will help you. Only exercise your willpower, and when you feel the temptation come to you very strong, utter a prayer to the Father for help, and you will receive it. I am glad that you are in such condition of harmony with the Father tonight, and that your love for Him is so strong, and with that love will come faith that will be able to accomplish most anything that you may desire, and that the Father sees is best for you. Yes, you can ask those things with the assurance that they will be pleasing to the Father, and will not be refused you. I would like to write longer but I must stop now. I will tell you the next time that I write about these two spirits who say they are the first parents of a human race. I have not the time now, and what I may say may be interesting to you and to the world. So, my dear brother, I will say good night. Your brother, Jesus. I am here, the spirit of one that when on earth was a believer in the divinity of Jesus and in his being one of the three parts of the Godhead, co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. This belief I died in, and as a consequence, when I came to the spirit world, I was disappointed and also surprised to find that Jesus is not God, but a spirit made like the rest of the inhabitants of that 196, the Paget Messages 1915, world, though infinitely more beautiful and possessed in a very much larger degree of the divine nature of the Father. I did not believe that this was true until a long time after I entered the spirit world, for my old beliefs clung to me, and while I did not find myself in heaven singing psalms and playing on harps as the Bible taught, yet I was not very happy and was not in much darkness, and I settled down to the belief that the state in which I found myself was the one that I should probably remain in until the great day of judgment and the general resurrection of those who had died. But after a while I met spirits who said they were from a higher sphere, and who told me that there is no such thing as a fixed state in the spiritual world, and that the day of judgment is every day that I existed as a spirit, and that if I chose to do so I could progress out of my condition into higher spheres where I would find more happiness and light. Of course I did not readily believe this, for my old beliefs stayed by me and I continued in my condition of hesitancy for a long time, until at last I had the good fortune to come face to face with the Master, and then I knew that my beliefs were wrong and erroneous. Such a beautiful and bright and loving spirit I had no conception of. He told me that he was not God, and that he was only a son of the Father, and that I was a son also, and could obtain the divine love just as he had obtained it, if I would only pray to the Father and have the necessary faith. Since then, I have been praying, and my old beliefs about Jesus being God, and the great day of judgment and the resurrection of the dead at the last day have left me, and I am a free spirit possessing the love of the Father to a considerable extent. I am not so exalted and bright, and have not the soul development that your band have, but I am progressing and know that the divine love of the Father is what we all, spirits and mortals, need to make us one with the Father, and partakers of his divine nature and of immortality. I am a stranger to you, and you must excuse my intruding, but I so desired to write as I have, that when I saw the way open I could not resist the temptation to write. I am S. B. S. I lived in the city of New York and died many years ago. I am in the fifth sphere and progressing. So thanking you, I will say, good night and God bless you. Your brother in Christ, S. B. S. Probably Samuel B. Southwood 197. I am here, Helen. Well, my dear old Ned, you must stop writing for tonight as you have written a long time. I am so glad that you are now in such good condition of faith and love, and feel so close to God and so near to the Master. It certainly is wonderful how he loves you and clings to you and tries to help and influence you for good. We are all surprised at his love for you, and he does not seem to grow impatient that you sometimes seem not to care whether he loves you or not. But such is his great love. Oh, my dear, you must love him more and get closer to him and trust him with all your heart and mind, for I, your own Helen, tell you that he is with you very much and loves you more than you can possibly conceive to be true. He is trying to help you spiritually and he will succeed. Well, she, Amen, is a beautiful and bright spirit, more so than most any of the spirits that I have seen from the higher spheres. She talked to me for a while and told me that she was the first mother, and that I was one of her children. She has a wonderful portion of the divine love and seemed so grand and loving to me that I am inclined to believe her. But I cannot tell you anything more about her as I never saw her before. But I heard the Master say that he would tell you sometime about her and you may get a great treat from him. So good night, your loving and true, Helen. August 31, 1915. I am here, Amalimol. I was an inhabitant of a land that no longer exists and is entirely forgotten by human history. It was at the North Pole, and I lived there when everything was beautiful and green and warm. Yes, thousands of years ago. I live in the sphere where my people live. I am very happy with them. I was a white man and lived in a city where we had all conveniences and comforts. So you don't believe me, but it is true. Good night, Amalimol. I am here, Saint, Camellia. Yes, I was a Catholic nun. I merely want to say that I am no longer a nun or a Catholic, but a Christian redeemed by the Father's love and the teachings of the Master. I lived in 1676 at Florence, Italy, and was canonized nearly 100 years after my death. Yes, in the Romish Church history. I am now in there, the Paget Messages 1915, Celestial Heavens, where are those who have received the new birth? I will not write more tonight. I merely wanted to write and I had never before written through mortals. So I will say good night. Your sister in Christ, Camellia. I am here, Saint, Salacia. I was a woman of Italy when on earth. I was a great worker for the church and was at the head of some of its institutions, and after I died, I mean after I had been dead for a number of years, I was canonized. I died in 1689 in Milan. My name is among the saints of the Romish Church. I came merely to tell you that I am now in the celestial heavens and a follower of the Master. But I have to say that when I first came to the spirit world I was in darkness and suffering, because of my false beliefs, and false life as a teacher. It was only after I became an inhabitant of the spirit world that I learned the truths. Oh, the false teachings of the church and its priests. There are many of them here in the spirit world who are still in darkness and torment, and who lived when I did on earth. The reason is that they were so firm in their belief in the doctrines of the church that they have never been able to open their minds to the truth, and in fact many of them will not listen to any teachings, but those which they were taught on earth. Yes, I have tried to convince them of their errors but they would not listen to me, thinking that I had been deceived and proselyte and lost. Well, I am now very happy and I thank you for the opportunity of writing to you as it is the first time that I have ever written to a mortal. I need not take up more of your time now and so will say good night, Victorina Salacia. Daughter of an Italian nobleman, I am here, Paul. I was with you tonight at the meeting, and heard what the young man said about perfection, and I agree entirely with his ideas and the application of the truth to the lives of human beings. He had the correct conception of what perfection means, and when he said that perfection is a relative term, he spoke the exact truth. No man can expect to have the perfection of the Father in quantity, but he may, in quality, for the spirit of truth that enters into the soul of a man in 198, response to prayer and faith is a part of the divine nature of the Father, and the essence is the same, and the quality must be the same. But, of course, no man can obtain it to the extent of making him pure and holy as the Father is pure and holy. Even we who live in the high celestial heavens have not that perfection which the Father has. But let men know that even while on earth they can obtain this inflowing of the Holy Spirit in their hearts to such an extent that sin and error will be entirely eradicated. This, I say, is possible, but few men attain to such a state of perfection, because the worldly affairs and natural appetites which belong to mortals are always interfering to prevent the makings of the Spirit in men's souls so that perfection of this kind may take possession of them. But notwithstanding this great difficulty, and material desires of men, they should have this perfect ideal before them always, and strive to obtain the possession of it. I was much interested in the discourse not only because it was founded on a text attributed to me, but because of the right conception and the explanation made by the young man. I could see his soul and its workings, and I was glad to know that he possessed this divine love to an unusual degree, and was fitted almost for a home in the celestial spheres. You were benefited by what he said, and you felt the influence of the presence of the Holy Spirit at the meeting. If the people of this church would understand that there is only one thing that saves them from their sins and makes them at one with the Father, and that is the inflowing of the divine love into their souls, which was what Jesus meant when he told Nicodemus that he must be born again, they would easily see that their doctrine of holiness is not only a reasonable doctrine but one in accord with the truths of God, for as this divine love fills their souls, all sin and error must disappear. Of course this is a relative matter, for it depends upon how much of this divine love is in their souls to determine how much of sin or error exists. The more of the divine love, the less of sin, and on the contrary, the more of sin the less of the divine love. But, I want to say with all the emphasis that I am capable of, that it is possible for a human being to obtain such a quantity of this divine love in his soul that sin will be entirely eradicated. This was the doctrine taught by Jesus, and this is the truth of God's law of love. I know that the great majority of mankind do not believe this truth and think it foolishness, and that those who claim that they have received this, the Paget Messages 1915, divine love to a great degree are enthusiastic fanatics, and not worthy of credence, but I want to tell you that no greater truth was ever proclaimed by the Master, and sometime, in the not far distant future, many men who are now merely intellectual Christians will believe and embrace and experience this great truth. You will find yourself much benefited by attending these meetings, and while there are some things in their creed to which you do not subscribe, yet they have the foundation truth that the divine love of the Father can clear their souls from all sins, and make them perfect, to the extent that they receive that love in their souls. I will not write more tonight, but it will say that the Holy Spirit which conveys God's love to man is with these people in great power and fullness and manifests its workings in a real and irresistible manner. And God is blessing them and giving them that faith which enables them to become overcomers and inheritors of immortality and homes in the celestial heavens. So without taking up more of your time, I will say good night and God bless you. Your brother in Christ, Paul. I am here, Jesus. I heard what Paul wrote, and I corroborate everything that he said, and add, that these people are pursuing the true way to the inheritance which I promised them while I was on earth. Their faith is wonderful and the fruits of its exercise are shown in the condition of their souls and in their lives. Theirs is the sole conception of religion and of my truths, and while they may not with their intellects understand the philosophy of my teachings, yet with their soul perceptions they have grasped the great foundation truth of salvation through the divine love of the Father. Of course they sing and proclaim that my blood saves them from sin, but this is merely the exercise of their mental conceptions, learned from the teachings and creeds of the churches, yet they have grasped the great and only truth of salvation with the far more uncertain knowledge that the awakening and filling of their souls by the divine love gives them. How much to be wished for that all these churches of form and mental worship could realize that the only true worship of God is with the soul perceptions. Only with these perceptions that are developed by obtaining the divine love can we see God. Only by such development can we become 199, pure and holy and at one with the Father, and partakers of His divine nature. I am glad that you attended this church, and I advise you to go there often. For I tell you that the spirit of truth and love is with these people to a very extended degree, and that because their souls are open to its inflowing and to its ministration. I was with you again tonight, and so was the spirit of truth trying to open up your soul to its influence and to that which will cause your faith to increase and your trust in me to grow. No church will do as much good as that, and I advise you to attend. Of course you will not have to believe in its creed, but only in the fact that the Holy Spirit is there in all its quickening power, as they sometimes sing. So with all my love I say, good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. September 5, 1915. I am here, Luther, Martin Luther. I came again because I want to tell you that I was with you this afternoon when you were reading the comments on the origin and different versions of the Bible. Among them was a reference to my version. And I want to say that while my version was a pretty correct translation, yet the manuscripts and other versions, upon which I base my translation, were not the real writings of those who professed to have written them. I mean that those manuscripts were not true copies of the original epistles and books written by those whose names they bear. Many interpretations and new constructions were given to the texts of the originals than you or any other mortal are aware of. The Bible as now written and as I translated it, is full of contradictions and errors and makes the truth hard to ascertain. Take for instance that one subject of the blood redemption. No greater error was ever written than that the blood of Jesus saves from sin, or that His blood washes away sin. It seems to me now, so absurd that I wonder and am astonished that I could ever have believed in such an absurdity. I know now that there is no efficacy in Jesus' blood to accomplish any such results, and the pity is that many men do so believe, and, as a consequence, neglect the one vital and important requirement necessary to salvation, that is the new birth. This and this only saves men from their sins and fits them to enter the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of Jesus, for he is the prince of that kingdom, and the ruler thereof. The Paget Messages 1915. Jesus never said any such thing, for he has told me so.